Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the post-game podcast following the Wolves' devastating loss to the Detroit Pistons for the second time in less than 2 weeks. We'll break down the 17-point loss, why the Wolves got their four-game winning streak snapped, what's most concerning about it, and individual studs and duds. We'll break it all down here on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Thursday, everybody. And a big thank you, first of all, for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So if you have a Roku or an Amazon Fire TV, download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app. You can watch this show and all the other Locked On Sports Minnesota shows. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. This is the post-game podcast, and we are talking to Wolves Pistons. And I don't know. I didn't go back and listen to the show from a couple of weeks ago, or I guess it was a Saturday, so we would have just done the post-game, the postcast with Marnie. I probably could have just replayed part of that. There were a lot of similarities between that loss to the Pistons and this one. They were both equally horrific. They were both against a Pistons team that's a bottom five defensive team, depending on where you look, 27th to 29th defensively. They're there's some parts about their offense. I talked about them being a sneaky bad matchup for the Wolves actually before that show and on or before that game. And then also today's or yesterday's podcast, the Wednesday show, I talked about why the Pistons are still a bad matchup. And it's mostly because they get to the free throw line a lot. They play fast enough to make things challenging, and they're a pretty good 3-point shooting team. They're also a good offensive rebounding team, although that didn't come into play as much in this game. All of those things came true. It was the same exact formula, except for this time the Pistons were shorthanded. No Isaiah Stewart, no Marvin Bagley, and no Jalen Durant, the exciting rookie. Bagley had a big double-double off the bench last time against the Wolves. And yeah, the Wolves were shorthanded. Obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jordan McLaughlin, plus Torrey Prince rolling his ankle early in the game, missing a chunk of time in the middle of the game and certainly not looking 100%. Anthony Edwards with the hip injury, leaving, being ruled out, and then coming back in the game in the second half. And Kyle Anderson missing the entire game due to an illness. And I think, and Marty and I talked about this on the postcast, missing Kyle Anderson was huge in this game because of the composure and the level-headedness that he brings. He's also the Wolves' kind of glue guy, Swiss Army knife, if you will, on both ends of the floor, right? He's the guy who can kind of distribute. If teams play a zone, he can get in the middle of the zone, pick it apart. On offense, he does a little bit of everything. Defensively, he can guard basically 1 through 4 and is switchable, talks, rebounds a little bit, like does all those things that hardly anyone else on the roster seems to be doing consistently. And so missing Kyle Anderson was massive in this game. But that's actually basically my key takeaway. Was how bad this loss is, and how big of a difference I think Kyle Anderson would have made. Again, this is a Pistons team missing three of their best bigs, starting Nerlens Noel, who had only played in a handful of games this season to this point. And if you didn't watch the game, you glance at the box score, you see that Noel had 2 points, 5 rebounds. You'd say, oh, well, okay. He didn't do a whole lot. Well, no, he also had 3 steals, 4 blocks. So I guess if that's your takeaway, look at the box score a little bit harder because he had 7 stocks, if you will, steals and blocks combined in just 21 minutes. A lot of that was the third quarter. He just kind of wreaked havoc on the Timberwolves offense. It's like the Wolves got into the paint and then saw Noel and just panicked. And he racked up. I should have looked up how many of those 7 steals plus blocks were actually in the third quarter alone. It felt like basically all of them. So to let essentially a fourth string center, and I've always liked Nerlens Noel, so he's still a good player, but he's also not a regular rotation player for a bad team. He basically controlled the third quarter, and like that can't happen. And we'll talk more about that later in the show. I want to talk about how like the guys you wouldn't expect to do it did it against the Wolves, which is just not great. But Nerlens Noel controlled that third quarter. It's just like that sort of thing can't happen. The third quarter woes falls into the same category. Like, we're at it again. One of the league's worst third quarter teams in terms of net rating. They got outscored by 13 by one of the worst two or three teams in the entire league. If you throw out the third quarter, the Wolves still lose this game, but they only lose by four, which, by the way, explains just how bad they played overall. The Wolves won the first quarter by three. They lost the fourth quarter by four. They lost the second quarter by four. Lost the fourth quarter by four. So they would have lost by four if you take out the third quarter. But they were a minus 13 in the third quarter, gave up 36 points to the Detroit Pistons in the third quarter of this game. With, again, no Marvin Bagley, no Isaiah Stewart, no Jalen Duren. The Timberwolves gave up 60% shooting from the field to the Detroit Pistons in this game. 53% on three-point attempts. 28 free throw attempts for the Pistons in this game to 21 for Minnesota. And Detroit also out-rebounded the Wolves by two in this game. Actually, I said this on the postcast with Marnie. You pick a category, the Wolves probably lost it. Rebounds, they lost it. Assists, lost it. Steals, lost. Blocks, lost. Turnovers, lost that category. Fast break points, we'll talk more about that later. The only category that they won was points in the paint. And they only won that one by six. This is a Timberwolves team with Rudy Gobert, a Pistons team missing their three preferred bigs, effectively starting Sadiq Bey at the four, or Bogdanović, whoever you want to consider the four. Not even starting a real four. Starting Nerlens Noel, their fourth string center. And not even really playing a big off the bench. Like, I mean, Hamidou Diallo did some damage in the paint. He was the energy guy that really hurt the Wolves. I don't even know. I don't know how you only win points in the paint by six against the Detroit Pistons without those bigs that they're missing. I don't want to have to list their names again. But I don't think it's a point that can be belabored. Like, yes, effort is a massive issue. It's a massive, massive issue. And that is the reason they lost this game. But how? How are you a minus two on the boards and only a plus six in points in the paint to a Pistons team without, say it with me, Bagley, Stewart, and Durin? All those things are just absolutely miserable for the Timberwolves. And they didn't deserve to win this game. We go back to Sunday in Houston. The Wolves didn't deserve to win that game either. They were down 20 in the first 20 minutes to the worst team in the NBA. And then eventually, the talent gap, you know, it catches up. They decide to try. They win on Sunday. You can't do that multiple nights in a row. The Timberwolves had the rest advantage. I haven't even mentioned that yet. The Pistons played on Tuesday. They got beat by 31 in Philadelphia on Tuesday night. The Minnesota Timberwolves played Sunday, were down 20 to the Rockets in the first 20 minutes, ended up winning that game, stayed in Houston Sunday night, Monday night. They practiced Tuesday and flew to Detroit Tuesday afternoon. So they basically were in Houston for 48 hours. They got a chance to rest for 2 days. They presumably got into Detroit at a reasonable hour on Tuesday. Like, the whole thing, like, they had a massive rest advantage. Detroit traveled too. They were in Philly. Not that that's a far flight, but they still had to travel on Tuesday night after playing. The Timberwolves were there waiting for them. And I know sometimes there can be rust, et cetera. Well, no, this is the middle of the season, 2 days off, not 4 days off, not even 3 days off. And when it's effort, like, rust is like, yeah, we had a couple days off, so our shooting was off, fine, whatever. The Timberwolves shot the ball fine. This was effort. This was defensive effort. I want to talk about defense. That's the biggest part of the next segment, is point of attack defense. I want to, you know, I don't know, I could list every player that played and it was bad. But that's effort, defensive effort on the glass, in the paint, all of these things that a young, a team that was supposed to be tired traveling on the second night of a back-to-back, shorthanded Pistons team beat the Wolves with effort and energy and want to on Wednesday night. The Timberwolves' four-game winning streak is history. They could have had a five-game winning streak going into a matchup against a struggling Phoenix Suns team on Friday. They could have smelled blood in the water, but no. Instead, they're going to go back in two games under 500 instead of being at the 500 mark. They're two games under 500 now as they take on Phoenix on Friday. All right. I want to talk point of attack defense. I want to talk, you know, what happened? How did the Pistons get 135 points against the Timberwolves? We'll get to individual studs and duds too. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you have to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me where you want to eat healthier but you don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious you won't think that they're good for you, but they are. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate, and they come in unbelievably delicious flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, and coconut almond. I don't know how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now, you don't need to wait around to get a box either. For years on this show, on Locked On Wolves, we've been talking about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com. You could still do that, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box. 13 bars with their hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later for the tip. You can also still go to Built.com, but go check them out at Sam's or at Walmart, and make sure to thank me later. All right, let's talk about another recurring issue for the Wolves. Well, actually, there's two. Let's start with transition defense. That's a quicker one. The Wolves got beat in transition a lot in this game. Detroit plays, kind of middle of the pack in terms of pace. Not as fast as the Wolves. But it stands to reason they'd play faster without most of their rotation bigs. The Wolves got beat 11-2 in transition points in this game. The Timberwolves had 2 fast break points against the Detroit Pistons, a bad defensive team. Yeah, the Wolves scored 118. They shot 49% from the field, 48.5 from 3. Got to the line a decent amount. That's all great. And honestly, the transition, it doesn't matter when you give up 135. But the transition defense was also bad, especially early in the game. So, like, it's other than effort, which is, I don't know, that's a significant thing, but we'll set it aside. The three, like, tangible skill areas where the Wolves have really struggled this year are transition, period, both offense and defense. Offensive rebounding. And I don't know, I guess usually actually it's turnovers. But point of attack defense occasionally has cropped up as a major issue. That's kind of the fourth thing. That was the number one issue tonight. Offensive rebounding, there were some bad ones kind of late in the game that the Wolves gave up as they were kind of falling. You could see everybody's shoulders slumpy. They gave up some bad offensive rebounds to the Pistons, but that wasn't really responsible for the 135 or for the Pistons building a double-digit lead in the first place. That was all the defense. The Timberwolves' point of attack defense was horrible in this game, much worse than it was in the Houston game. D'Lo shot 4 of 4 from 3 to start. Like, he made his first 4 threes and kind of got everyone off the scent, I think. But he was horrific defensively in this game. Really bad. Like, go watch every Pistons defensive possession. I challenge you to find a good D'Lo possession. You might be able to find one. I challenge you to find 2. He wasn't the only one. Jaden McDaniels started the game actually okay on Bojan Bogdanovic. I thought he competed. I thought Austin Rivers was pretty good early in the game defensively, and that changed in a hurry. The containment defensively was just not there. And Ant, we know he's hobbled. We know he's trying to play through the hip. His wasn't good either. But to me, D'Lo and McDaniels were the two that were the most disappointing, because D'Lo just didn't try. And McDaniels, we know what he's capable of. And neither of those guys played well defensively. Just like straight line drive after straight line drive. Like, we've talked about this before, where the Wolves, the half-court defense actually this year hasn't been overall that bad, right? It's been the transition defense. And that's why, I say the three major things, like point of attack defense isn't actually one of the three biggest issues so far this year. It's been the transition defense. We've had some games where I've talked, come on after the show or the post-game pod, and I've talked about how, like, oh, you swing the ball from side to side against the Wolves and you're going to get a bucket because the Wolves don't stick to it defensively, right? If you rotate the ball enough against them, the rotations aren't crisp enough. They gamble for a steal, or they're just a half step late. If you just swing the ball a couple times, and that was kind of the book on the Wolves, is just move the ball. You'll eventually get a shot or a straight line drive. The Pistons didn't need to do that. They just score. Catch the ball on the perimeter, just go. Pick and roll, just run a pick and roll like you're running against a shell defense. It doesn't matter. Because D'Lo's going to trail the play, or you know, Ant won't contain or he'll gamble, or Jaden McDaniels, you could just go through him. Like, all those things happened in this game. The point of attack defense was absolutely and unequivocally non-existent for the Timberwolves. How else do you explain the Detroit Pistons scoring 135 points? And they did get to the line 28 times. I mean, defending without fouling was an issue too for the Wolves in this game. But, I mean, I'm actually surprised. Like, the reason the Wolves didn't get called for more fouls is because the Pistons had so many open looks at the rim. I mean, the likes, like, Bojan Bogdanović got 27 points on 15 shots. He had 5 of 8 from 3, and he, there were a couple of possessions he ate Jaden McDaniels' lunch. But the Pistons run so many actions for him and get him catch and shoot, get him off, you know, curling around screens, running him off pin downs to get him shots, and he's a really good shooter. Like, fine, you gave up 27 to Bojan. Not the end of the world. Sadiq Bey, 31 points, and I think he had like 20 of them in the first half. He's a good player. I really like Sadiq Bey. He had a ton of wide open shots in this game. The bigger issues for me, though, are Jaden Ivey and Killian Hayes, two massively inefficient players. They both shot 50% or better from the field. They combined to shoot 14 of 25 from the field in this game. And Killian Hayes was 1 of 6 from 3. So do the math on that. 7 of 14 overall, 1 of 6 from 3 for Killian Hayes. He was 6 of 8 on two-point shots. That can't happen. I loved Killian Hayes as a prospect. That I still think there's potential there. He's not been a good NBA player. You cannot give up 50% shooting or 6 of 8 on twos to Killian Hayes because the Wolves were dropping. Rudy was not protecting the rim in this game. I mean, I've taken to task the point of attack defense because those guys weren't helping him. The perimeter players were not helping Rudy. But Rudy Gobert was not good defensively. He had 0 blocks in this game. He affected some shots early when the Wolves had that slim lead early. The Wolves actually shot out to a 10-0 lead. They held a decent lead for most of the first quarter, led by 3 at the end of the first. And then as things got closer and closer to halftime, eventually the Pistons surged ahead by a point. Rudy had some good defensive possessions early, but that's the nicest thing I can say about his defense in this game. The point of attack defense was bad, put him in a bad way. And then you get Killian Hayes and Jaden Ivey coming downhill, and yeah, they both have potential. Yes, they're nice prospects, they're nice young players, but those guys cannot combine to shoot 14 of 25 against a defense that coming in was actually up to like 12th or 14th in defensive rating. It's supposed to be a good defense anchored by Rudy Gobert, one of the best defenders of this era. And you allow 14 of 25 to Ivy and Hayes in the backcourt. Hamidou Diallo shot 7 of 8. Like, you can't give up 18 points and 8 shots to Hamidou Diallo. You can't give up 18 points apiece to Ivy, Hayes, and Diallo. Like, it can't happen. Alec Burks was a perfect 3 of 3 on 3-pointers. I mentioned this earlier. I'm going to mention it again. The Detroit Pistons shot 53.1% on three-point attempts in this game. Yes, Bogdanović is a good shooter. He hit some contested threes. They ran some great plays for him. Take out his shots, fine. They're still 50% from three. I mean, like, Bay was 4 of 6, and he hit some wide-open threes. My 8-year-old was watching the game, and he commented, "Why is nobody guarding him?" A couple of times when Sadiq Bay was wide open shooting a three. What happened? Why is no one over there? Like, that's the analysis, right? Like, I could have just left it at that. We should have all, you know, kept this podcast to a couple sentences and just said that. We could all gone home. Like, that's what happened here. Was just not guarding, you know, penetration, driving kick. Later, as the game wore on, it was just in the paint, bucket after bucket after bucket. Killian Hayes, Jaden Ivey getting downhill, Alec Burks, Sadiq Bey spotting up, Bogdanović running off screens, 60% from the field for the Pistons, 53% from three, 28 free throw attempts, 135 points for the Detroit Pistons against your Minnesota Timberwolves in this game. And now the Wolves go back home to see Phoenix on Friday. As I'm recording this, Phoenix is down 16 at halftime to Denver, and Phoenix is a mess right now too. Still no Chris Paul. He's missed the last couple, so it seems unlikely he plays Friday. I think he got hurt 2 games ago, so we'll see. But suddenly, the Suns may be a game under 500. The Wolves will be 200 500 on Friday. That's an important game. I mean, it always was an important game, but now it's like it feels that much more important when you have Utah and Cleveland on the horizon too. Anyway, I still want to do individual studs and duds. We'll close the show with that here in just a moment. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at LinkedIn. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experience to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications, all on one platform. It's time to achieve your goals in 2023. The right team member just might help you do that, and LinkedIn Jobs is the perfect place to go. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockdownmba. That's linkedin.com/lockdownmba to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's talk individual studs and duds. Not too hard here with this one. Honestly, the Wolves shot the ball so well that the box score doesn't look terrible. Like, if you're just a box, you're just looking at box scores, the Wolves shot 49% from the field, 48.5% from three, and 76% from the line. Yeah, assist numbers were bad, but like, assist to turnover was awful, 22 assists, 18 turnovers. But you could look at the box score and convince yourself that, like, Rudy had a good game, or that D'Lo had a, like, nobody really had a good game. I mean, if we're being completely honest. But because this is the game that we play on this podcast, I'm going to try to name three studs, but I will give you reasons why they're also not studs. I don't know. I don't really know what to do with this. I tell you what, D'Lo's line looks good, right? Like, 19 points, 7 of 14 shooting, 5 of 8 from 3, 5 assists, a couple of rebounds. D'Lo did not play well in this game. He made his first four threes, and that was kind of it. Like, he made a couple tough shots in the paint, like, didn't get to the line at all. I can't give him a stud. He was so bad defensively. I can't do it. I already kind of ripped on everybody else defensively too. I'll give Ant one because he gutted it out. He scored 20 points in 24 minutes. I didn't even really talk about this earlier. I mentioned it in passing, but he left the game in the second quarter at halftime, or just after halftime. The team ruled him out for the rest of the game with the hip soreness from, you know, the fall almost 2 weeks ago against Milwaukee. And then, like, late third quarter, the team announces on Twitter that he's available again, and all of a sudden he's back in the game. And I mean, like, didn't look good. Like, he didn't look comfortable. He looked like he was trying to brace his fall. He got some garbage time points. Shouldn't have been out there, frankly. I admire the fact that he definitely saw his teammates floundering against a terrible team and was like, I better get out there. 20 points in 24 minutes is always nice. 8 of 18 shooting's fine. 2 of 7 outside the arc. So he was 6 of 11 on two-pointers. Just 2 of 2 at the line, 6 assists. Only one rebound, but also only 24 minutes for Ant. But I guess he gets a stud. Somebody's got to, right? Rudy's line looks nice, 16 and 14. There were some nice moments with D'Angelo Russell in this game, some nice chemistry, but he was not great defensively either, so I'm not going to give him one either. Let's see. I'm going to find another one. I'm going to give one to Naz Reid. I know the plus-minus is ugly, the minus 16 in 13 minutes, but it's not his fault. I mean, there's a lot of noise there. He had 8 points and 8 rebounds in 13 minutes, shot 4 of 7. He was better than Nate Knight. I've been clamoring for Nate Knight minutes. I don't think Knight played well. He missed a couple of gimmies at the rim. So I'll give Naz a stud. So what did I say? Edwards, Naz. I'll pick one more. Nope, I'm not going to. Two studs for this game. I can't bring myself to do it. This was, like, to a man, just a bad performance defensively. And so some of the offensive numbers, like, hey, the Pistons are really bad themselves defensively. There were some garbage minutes. Like, the offensive numbers don't mean a lot to me in this game because you gave up 135 to the Pistons. Like, who cares? Duds, I don't know. I could say everybody, but I guess I'll point out, have I made that point well enough yet? I'll point out a couple who I thought played the worst. We'll go D'Angelo Russell because of the defense. It was really bad. Jaden McDaniels, bad defense. A couple real bad turnovers. Led the team with 3 turnovers in 29 minutes in this game. Actually, every starter had 2 or more turnovers. They all had 2 except for McDaniels, who had 3. So I'll go McDaniels, I'll go Russell, and I'll go Jalen Newell. Bad minutes off the bench, bad shot selection, missed all 3 of his 3-pointers again. 8 points on 8 shots for Noel, plus 2 turnovers to just 1 assist in 17 minutes. So this was a game where Kyle Anderson would have been a nice shot in the arm. Obviously, another game where Jordan McLaughlin would have been great to have. And Carl Anthony Towns. That would be nice too if Towns was available. So anyway, disappointing loss. And on Friday's show, we'll preview Wolves Suns. We'll talk a little bit about the Suns' struggles of late. They've really, really been on tough times. Chris Paul's out now for a second time for what appears to be an extended period of time. So we'll talk about that. But the Wolves have lost the Suns twice already this season. The first time we've seen them since early November, though. So first time in a couple of months. And a lot's changed for Phoenix since then. Besides the cat injury, not really a lot has changed for the Wolves. They're just still not playing well. So at any rate, that game is Friday night. It's a 7 p.m. tip. We will go live after the game a little earlier, actually, on Friday, about 30 minutes following the game, kind of right after the Bally Sports North post-game show. We'll go live on the postcast on the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. Myself and Marnie Gellner from Bally Sports North. You'll be able to find that audio on this feed. In fact, the episode before this that you're listening to, if you're listening and not watching on YouTube, the episode prior to this is the postcast that Marnie and I recorded live after the game. So go check that out. And then we'll see you Friday for the postcast. The Wolves back-to-back is Friday, Saturday, and then they play Monday afternoon. So it's like three games in less than four full days because it's an MLK Day game on Monday. So anyway, we'll do a Monday show earlier in the day and then we'll do a postcast following the Monday game. That's getting into next week. Plenty of shows upcoming, I guess is what I'm saying. The schedule gets real busy for the Wolves. So make sure you're following and subscribe to Locked On Wolves. Wherever you listen to podcasts, a big thank you to those of you that do make us your first listen every day. You can watch on YouTube. You can listen on your favorite platform. You can watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On TV Wolves and at B Beacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, CKEN. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now, make your second listen today, the Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, and every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.